The end of the meeting, you guys can vote on a permanent chair.
Okay.
We'll try you out.
Thank you.
Call this meeting to order at 6:01. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move.
Roll call?
Oh, okay. By consensus.
By consensus, I mean, you want to call it?
Sure. Okay. Citizen English?
Here.
Councilmember Terrazas?
Here.
Councilmember Story?
Here.
Okay, agenda item 2, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
I move.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Remember, and approval of the January 30th, 2012 minutes.
I'll move the minutes.
I'll second that. I think that was just the two of us. Oh, I did want to make a comment that when we had the discussion, you're going to bring back at our, was it the March meeting, the updated information in terms of the...
We've got it tonight.
Okay. No, but I mean, just that's replacing
yes,
for the March meeting. Right.
Yeah, okay. Preparation for the March meeting.
Okay. So all those in favor?
Aye.
And any oral communications?
Don't see.
I don't know, from the numbers here. Staff reports?
Okay, so the financial reports you did get, and once again, sorry for how you got them. There's, once again, cash, we're doing, pool cash is doing really well. I don't know when payroll hit, so, but as of the end of January, this report is at the end of January, so we're 7 months in, which is 58% of the way through the year. And I'm really, as predicted, our sales and use tax is up a little higher. It's at 64%. That's the word we got from the county from financing authority in January that, yes, sales tax was up. So I think we're looking at an extra couple hundred thousand. So basically, revenues, lost items are still the lowest. Not sure why, but they are. So that's probably going to be a little bit low. Nothing significant. No real big changes there. Expenditures on page 10, other professional technical services. The 100,000 is the facilities master plan. That's why that one is so low. So you haven't spent that one yet. Nothing else is significantly out of line. Where it should be. Still spending money related to computer system. Any questions, really?
I just wanted to ask about CalPERS. I've heard that they're sending out letters updating, you know, the pension costs, and I know that.
Just heard
in regards to, no, I've heard a couple cities every example for the county receipt.
Okay, I can ask the department head on Wednesday. They did hire a new finance. Did you get word?
Yeah.
They hired a new. The city hired a new finance director. His name is Mark Pimentel, coming from Watsonville.
So what from Watsonville?
Yeah. We all know that.
So it was in the paper.
Oh, was it in the paper? I was gone. I didn't get the paper for a week. So.
I'm sure he's been considered. I didn't know that he was hired.
Yes, he's been hired. He starts, I think, March. Is it March 14th? 15th? Somewhere in March. I'll have him come to one of these meetings. And myself a note about CalPERS if we've gotten a letter. I'm sure that if we have, we'll hear about it at the department head. So. What is it that the, you know what it's saying?
They were increasing, getting increased pension costs. There's a higher percentage that they're charging the jurisdictions. This was, I heard this from the town of Los Gatos.
Because I thought things were supposed to be okay.
They're reducing their projected earnings.
Correct. Oh,
therefore,
doing.
Right.
Okay.
Therefore, and actually, that's what Jack
that's
had
what
mentioned
Jack.
That before.
A couple
of
years
ago, in the process of doing that. I think they lowered it to, because it used to be like they were projecting 7 and 8%, something like that.
8% earnings.
Yeah.
And then they reduced it
to 6 or.
I don't know what it's been reduced.
Five.
I think it was.
Five.
That's a big change.
Well, so, right, since they're reducing their investment earnings, therefore payments have to go up because their future returns are coming down.
I will email Cheryl.
That was just, you know, anecdotally, I heard that from two places.
Okay, I'll email Cheryl and see if she's got it. She may not know that she needs to share that with me. If she got it, yeah. She may not realize it.
Yeah. I asked over at the city manager's office if they had received anything.
Okay, I said no.
No. Oh, well, okay. The city manager had.
Okay. So, personnel. Personnel is low, which is good. It should be, because personnel was budgeted at full cost. And I'm going to go through personnel for this coming year. I've got data on what we're expecting for the rest of the year. So it should be lower. I mean, and things are working. the pool cash is looking good.
Just one on miscellaneous services. Looks like I'm on page
11.
Lower left corner there.
Which
11,
one?
Yes, page 11. The very last miscellaneous services and supplies,
mm-hmm.
It's like we're 82%.
Yeah, that's where the big read came out of,
mm-hmm.
And also the County Office of Education grant for the tutoring project. They came out of there. The money hasn't been put in to cover them, went into donations. We found that our account clerk, who's no longer with us, did some odd things, and we're still straightening those out. Or it may have been correct that he took it out of there, but he didn't cover it with the appropriate money. So.
But it's not a material amount of money, I guess.
Yeah, overall, in the scope of things.
No,
it's
but
not really
the big read was, I think, $17,000, and the County Office of Education grant, there have been two of those. I don't remember the total amount on it.
I think a bigger number on that page is the telecom service.
The telecom, that's E-rate that hasn't come in yet.
Oh. So is that going to be offset?
Eventually, yes. That's the goal. They start paying us. Should pick up any day now.
Teresa,
mm-hmm.
For the just following up on Sam's comment, for these programs that are identified in the other material or miscellaneous supplies and services, you have some programs that are included in there. Right, the big read, was that just the materials that are ordered through that, or is it also some of the?
It was all the expenses.
All the expenses.
17,000. Well, maybe not every single one, but most of the expenses were. Well, obviously not all of them, because it was only comes to $15,000 that we spend. So, I didn't bring the printout of everything that's in there. But
no, I'm just curious though. When you look back to see whether or not it's a successful program, or to compare what you spent on it, or how you evaluate it, would you have ready access to look at how much was spent, and also how would we compare that against maybe people that came to the event in terms of just program evaluation? I'm sure that's what someone doing their staff, but.
Yeah, we are, let me just put it this way, in transition and trying to figure out how these things are, what our account clerk did, and we're still trying to unravel. So,
okay.
Yes, the information should be there, and some of it is, and some things were put in lines that we didn't, we expected the expenditures to stay together, and they didn't, so we've got to pull them from different places.
Okay.
We're now going to start tracking them through a project number, which we didn't always do.
Okay.
So we will have ways to look at what do we spend on a given program so that we can do some evaluation based on it. But we haven't been able to up to now, because it's all been a total mystery. And it's another mystery being revealed to us.
We're
all learning leaps and bounds in the financial system. The city also has a they have the main financial system, which is called Eden, and now they have one called Easy Eden, which the rest of us can use. So actually, I was able to get in today on my own and find out what had been spent out of that line, which is something we couldn't do before. So yeah, we have some cleaning up to do. more thing. The one department that wasn't affected by the transition now is in total transition. Okay, I know you haven't had time to read, and I don't know if you want to take some time to read this, or do you want me to walk through it?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of reading it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look up when you're done.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
And then you'll get your meal plan cookie.
says library aid 66 more hours, right? You're talking just...
This is a pretty rough draft.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Yeah, just the first one and the third.
On which page?
Yeah, one is gathering statistics, the other is about personnel adjustments. So, yeah, 66. I was just trying to count out the number of...
Well, libraries really count, aren't really in our FTE count. There are temps, some of them are 10 hours, some 15. I mean, you could convert them to FTE, but we don't. They're not considered part of our FTE count.
Oh, I know.
Because they're the temps.
First,
they're the temps, yeah. Okay, is everybody wants to read it? So, so basically, I'll just run through real quick. Three priorities. Maintain the fund balance, increase hours, and maintain the other fiscal priorities. You wanted me to come back in March with the estimated costs associated with the increase in hours and the timeline for implementation. Met with the senior managers. We got a lot of input from staff. This was really only based on 1 month's worth of experience and data, so we were just really trying to separate the wheat from the chaff and figure out, okay, here's what's not working. Okay, is that not working because you really don't have enough staff or the right staff, or is this not working because you're just not used to it? And I think we did a pretty good job of sorting those two out. I don't think we're obviously not done yet, and we still have a lot of evaluation to do, but I think what we really did try to do was just identify really what wasn't working. And some things are working fine, and we are saving money. We're saving over $1 million, you know, about $1.3 million per year in savings. So we did achieve that goal. The reference librarians half-time at the larger branches seems to be working pretty well. We're not getting complaints from the public that they're not getting the reference help they need, and that's only going to get more as we implement more of the remote service. Programming is basically holding steady. We can't expand programming based on the staffing level we have. We'd have to use volunteers who take time as well, so we have to balance that. But we are able to provide the same level, basic level of programming that we were last fall. October of 10, when we developed the staffing model within the task force. We've expanded a little bit beyond that, just, you know, extra tails to tails programs and things like that. So some of the big challenges have been staff, and this is the way it was designed, a staff is on the service desk all hours the branch is open. And it's working out front in terms of service to the public. In the back, tasks are not being done. And what we really tried to do here was separate the fact that not all the branches had their volunteer contingent in place, the 8 hours a week they're supposed to have of volunteer time, and they hadn't backfilled with library aides in order to fill that in. So I said, go ahead and do that. We've got money in the aid budget, and you'd also given me some leeway if I needed some money to make things work this, you know, as we implemented. So, and we're doing fine on the library aids. So we're still, it's a change, and it's still hard getting all that done. So the backroom work seems to be the area where there's bigger problem, and then staff not having any time. There's no time in the larger branches for staff to meet. And getting people to do training, we have to cover with subs every time we want to do any kind of training or bring people together for anything. And that may be okay. I mean, that may be the way we need to operate. But even just doing your timesheet, which has to be done on a computer, you can't really do that out front. You got to go in back, and it's not the easiest system to use. It just takes time. And literally, if you're at work 20 hours and expected to be out front for 20 hours, it's just, you know, there's a certain amount of email people need to stay up with. So we just felt we needed to up the time just a little bit, in particularly in the larger branches. Scotts Valley in particular, when we staffed Scotts Valley, we based it on the same level as Aptos, and they're one-third busier. And they have the same staff. So they're really hopping out in Scotts Valley. We've been out there at all, but it's really not good. Having some sort of a second-in-command, particularly downtown, just somebody who can be the circulation supervisor, the manager of the downtown branch is also does a lot of circulation issues for the whole system. He's been really involved in the Evergreen transition too. And like I said, 26 direct reports is just too many. With many of those being those library aides, who are only working a few hours and trying to stay on top of them is not easy. So I really feel that he needs somebody under him to can do some of the supervision. Class visits are one place where we're using sub coverage. So, I mean, I'm not increasing librarians anywhere other than an information specialist is not a librarian. We didn't increase librarians anywhere, but to take the, we've got a 30-hour information specialist just by making her full-time. She's the only one that's part-time. By making her full-time would make a big difference. We're just guessing on the reshelving. We still haven't, that study should be done. I'm supposed to have a check on that tomorrow. They're supposed to be studying that. But we do seem to need more library aides, and that's backroom work and getting materials out on the shelf. We're getting a lot of complaints about things showing that they're on the shelf and they're not there because we're not getting them back out on the shelf fast enough. This other issue on the 250 fee for holds not picked up is really not really related to the transition itself, but it's very unpopular. You hardly ever collect it. When I went back and I went back through, I finally found it where it had been approved by the board. And it was supposed to bring in all of $20,000, and I know we were desperate, but it is barely bringing in 10 at that. So, and it takes a lot of, it's very staff intensive to administer. I mean, it takes like the 20, somebody counted for me. I didn't ask them to, they just said, do you know how many clicks it takes? 22 clicks. So I'm just saying we get rid of that one right now. Just Monday night, we say it's gone. We will do more for PR with the public. They will love us.
Do you need a board direction to do that?
Yeah, yep. It's money. I mean, so, yeah. The board needs to approve it Monday night. Whenever you incur fees and fines or get rid of fees and fines, board. So the increased hours, so those are the kinds of things we need just to kind of fix what's not working too well, as near as we can tell.
And under the proposal, those are the number two items.
Yes.
Suggested for
mm-hmm.
remediation.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's about $276,000 plus the library aid time, so about $300,000. So the increased hours, we talked about, okay, if we're going to increase the hours the way the board said they wanted to do, we first had to have a schedule that we were working from because there's no way to staff without an actual schedule. Particularly when you're looking at 6-7 day a week operations. The big place that we're, the big shift we're making by increasing those hours is we've got those branches that are 20 hours a week, they're open 5 days for 4 hours. We avoid meal times. Significant. Not having to cover for those meal times. And we also put in a late start on Fridays to help with scheduling meetings. So I gave you the current schedule and the proposed schedule. I mean, obviously we can tweak that schedule a number of different ways. I mean, I'm not saying it has to be that, but that was what we used for it. And any variations you make aren't going to change things much. So the budgets, I did one with no changes, just the way it is. And estimated the personnel costs for next year at $7.4 million, which, and I did a, you know, budgets aren't due from staff until like March 15th, but trying to keep most things fairly steady, things I know of and what they're, where they seem to, you know, supplies and utilities and looking at what we're spending this year, particularly utilities, because what did we spend in January? Because that's when we had more hours. January's not a great month, although this was a pretty warm January, so I kind of, you know, felt my way on that in terms of what utilities might be. In any case, we don't make any changes at all. We end up with a fairly healthy fund balance. if we adjust it for remediation of some of the issues I've identified, we end up with, still end up with a fairly decent fund balance. If we add those additional hours, you can see that our personnel costs really do jump. It's over $800,000 just for the regular staff, and then you have to add in the temp staff.
Does that number three additional hours, does that incorporate the
remediation. So it's not an addition to it. It includes the remediation, and then we add the hours. Because if we add the hours without remediating, we're just going to compound our problems that we've got now. So it not only wipes out the $1 million fund balance we have, but takes us negative $91,000. So I'm putting it out there. So this next section, same question why this was here, because of the dates and stuff. You wanted a timeline if you were going to implement additional hours. So this is, if you did want to implement the additional hours, we did determine that if we approved the budget at the May meeting, or by May 21st, we could do it. I talked with HR, so, and payroll. So to make it July 9th. I wasn't sure if you wanted to hear my recommendations or not. Sometimes the board does, and sometimes they don't, and some do and some don't. But I put it out here, and what I'm recommending is that we do the remediation. We hold off on those increased hours. I will tell you, the public is very, very happy. I don't know what you've all heard. We have not gotten one complaint about the hours. And you know, I'm tracking right now. I handle at least one patron complaint, well, at least four a week, sometimes more, of patrons complaining about something. Not one peep about hours, which I'm surprised. I mean, we've had people complain, it hasn't come to me, but the story time people have complained that they're doing the same story time in, say, Boulder Creek and Scotts Valley. Because in a given week, if it's preschool story time on animals at Boulder Creek, it's preschool story time on animals at Scotts Valley. That's one of the ways we saved staff time was, and people are complaining because we're doing the same one. But I really think we should talk to the public and get some feedback on how satisfied are they, what are their needs. Because we may find that maybe it's LaSelva Beach that needs more hours only, and everybody else is okay, or maybe it's Aptos, and everybody else is really okay with what they have. I think we need to talk to survey the public. I'm cautiously optimistic about the economic situation, but we're not out of the woods yet, so. I think, give us another year, we might be in better shape. If by any chance we do have a fund balance above $1 million, let's put some of it aside for capital improvements. If we, what you don't have here is the facilities master plan scope, but I've done some talking to election bond, people that know about political elections and stuff. Can't think of the name right now. 13 hours in a car yesterday, Olivia. You drove back from Phoenix. One shot. So, Phil Bregman. Bonding is a definite possibility for us. Probably in a couple of years. But it won't pay for FF&E, furniture, furnishings, and equipment. So we're going to need to come up with our own money, friends' money, whatever kind of money. So if we have anything over $1 million, let's start putting it aside. I really feel like we're in a pretty good place right now with the public and the hours and the balance that we've achieved. I know it's very important to several board members that we increase them even more. I'm just concerned give us some time to really figure out where. Actually, to be honest, Sam, Capitola probably is one that, Capitola and Branch of 40 are probably the two. If you had to ask me right now, where should I increase branch hours, I would say Capitola and Branch of 40. Those are the two that probably needed the most. I got 1 month statistic. I'm hoping I won't have it when the packet goes out because February 29th, the packets go out on March 1st, and we won't get the data until the 1st or the 2nd for February. But visitors per hour, our visitor counts are up in January, but our visitors per hour are down. So we're not realizing the full, I mean, people are using the other hours, but we're not realizing the full potential yet. So anyway, that's what I was, this is what I was basically, do some cleaning up here, but going to propose. So questions?
I wanted to ask, the cost of the additional hours, because you have the components listed here under increased hours. Are you able to break it out among these various issues that you've listed here?
Oh, it would be really hard because we kind of built it. Well, the pressure areas, I mean, I got it by staff member. The calculations were done based on, I submitted to the payroll people what, you know, this position needed to go from 25 to 30 hours, this one needs to go from 30 to 40. These are new positions that we need. But how many go to the different aspects, I don't have it broken out that way. We didn't. Be really hard to do. I mean, if you said to me you wanted different hours or different parameters, you know, instead of 7 days a week to stay with 6 days a week, yeah, we could probably cut costs a little bit, but not significantly.
So it's basically, I mean, it's a $900,000 projected additional personnel cost to. I think it, I mean, just if you were to spell that out more clearly here, because I mean, I wasn't able to immediately make that connection.
Okay, I can actually.
And that, yeah, I mean, at this point, it's you.
I can give you the personnel costs related.
It's your basic, based on your personnel cost, if you're increasing hours by, looks like almost 20%. A little bit more than my 25%, that your personnel expenses are going to go up proportionally.
23%. That long
number. Yeah. I mean, I think if you just, I mean, for the report purposes, identifying, okay, there's a 23% increase in personnel hours, therefore, you know, it's going to be about a 23% increase in personnel costs. Does that all kind of work out?
I'd have to figure out, I'd have to actually do the math a little bit closer. So what's the increase in personnel costs?
And maybe it's not all proportional, but it sounds like if you're trying to. Under your recommendation, I think was the only thing I mean, is to make it clear that this recommendation is based upon the cost factor,
right,
not the time factor.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So, just I would, if you could maybe clarify and emphasize that.
Okay.
Because I didn't really immediately understand
okay.
that when I was
okay.
when I was reading it.
Sure.
I think those are probably my comments about.
One of the implications I get from the report is that the remediation cost alone pushes us out of the sustainable area in the sense that the fund balance is going to take a whack with the remediation costs.
Slightly, yes.
So it's a couple $100,000, $300,000.
Well, it'll take us.
Take us down to 800.
$200,000 from the million.
The first year, but then if we do this 2 years, does that mean it's going to go down another $300,000?
It shouldn't. the fund balance, we actually hadn't intended to get to $1 million. We intended to get to $1 million in 5 years.
Right.
And we were going to start putting money into that fund balance starting in, this is 12, 13, 13, 14.
The third year in.
The third year in.
Yeah.
Like at $100,000, we were going to start contributing to the fund balance.
Mm-hmm.
So, in essence, this next year, we're going to take from the fund balance. The next year, we're not going to have to pay into the fund balance because it's already there. So the $100,000 we had to pay in, we're not going to have to pay in because we already got there in the fund balance. Now, yeah, we're a little bit short. If we want to make up the $200,000, we could put in, you know, a little bit. But we're also probably, these numbers are, in the last couple of years, last year and then looks like this year, we are actually ending in a better position than we think. I mean, the projections are such, and then we never thought we'd end up with 495 last year. I think the prediction was 200, but there was money at the end. So I think that if things really are improving, and the county, when they budgeted for next year, sales tax, they didn't give us the $230,000 extra dollars that we got that we ended up actually getting this year. They took us back
mm-hmm.
and said, "You're starting here."
So you're saying the revenue projection is over conservative?
Probably is over conservative, which is understandable. You know,
yeah,
none of us are objecting to that. But
yeah, I just
the reality
understand.
Is, you know, I think we're also going to get more this spring because that $230,000 did not include. Because it runs 2 quarters behind, did not include Christmas. So that increased sales tax that we got was last spring and summer's money. So the fall and Christmas, we haven't even seen yet. Yet they didn't. So to be off by a couple $100,000 is really manageable.
On these fund balance projections,
mm-hmm.
are you incorporating what is the perceived increase in revenue? Is that built into this?
I'm using county finance revenue.
You're just using their
county
finance
revenue.
So it's like a conservative revenue.
So
yeah,
so very conservative approach. And so I think if you could put a note just clarifying that how you arrived at this fund balance using existing revenue calculations from the Library Financing Authority so that that's clear in here.
Yeah, I'm kind of loath to give you kind of my working document because this is so speculative in terms of, but
right.
This is, you know,
yeah.
This is basically the budget,
yeah.
But yeah, it's,
I was just looking at it from the point of view of if this goes on, if we continue on this path for several years, it just looks like we're going to eat through the fund balance that we put together, and then we start going into negative territory, particularly if we close additional hours. It sounds like our revenue projections are very conservative, so with the adjustment, the remediation part, it's probably a sustainable situation between expenditures and income.
And we may also.
Oh, no, I guess I wanted to clarify. When you're saying that this is our ending fund balance,
mm-hmm.
our.
The million's gone. The million.
Oh, really?
Is incorporated. This is after.
So we this is basic. Number two is basically saying we're going to have a shortfall, a deficit
mm-hmm.
of 200,
250,000,
and we'll end up with a cumulative fund balance of that.
Yeah, cumulative fund balance.
Why would we say we'd have to expense 300,000? Why shortfall? It's an expense, right? Except for the remediation.
The remediation will cost us 300,000,
yeah.
But that will the ending fund balance if we do nothing is 1.1 million.
Right.
If we spend the 300,000, the fund balance will go down to 805,000.
So it's an expense, not.
Yeah, no, this is what I want to clarify.
Okay.
We're ending this year. We currently have a fund balance of $1.2 million.
Well, I went with $1 million because.
Let's say it's $1 million.
Because I didn't have. You know, I kind of went with $1 million.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's let's say this year we're going to end up with $1 million.
Right.
Okay. More revenue than we had expenses. Okay, we're going to take that and we're going to bank it over here.
Right.
So next year, if we
Then take
number
away,
one, if we do the same thing,
we'll have 131.
We're going to have another million.
No, we're going to have 131,000.
Oh, okay. That's.
I had it the other way, and I wasn't, uh-huh. You know. Yeah.
That's ridiculous getting that.
Yeah, but what the other piece of that is there's $100,000 that is slated in 13-14 and in 14-15. That's far out as we went. We go to 15-16. I don't remember. 3 years. I think it was 3 years. We were going to add $100,000 a year as one of our budget lines to the fund balance. So we would be in a position to either do that and bring it back up to the million, or not, you know, or we wouldn't necessarily need to do that.
But that $100,000 that we were going to spend 2 years out gets added to the $300,000 that we're going to spend for remediation that we're not spending today.
It would take me come off of that.
But if we don't spend it.
So right.
We don't spend it. But if we take this $300,000 bite out of the fund balance now, we're going to want to put that money back in to try to keep it up, to get it back up to $1 million.
We might. Or we might decide that, you know, if we can hold at $800,000, we may say that's good enough. I mean, if the million was a...
We're talking over a longer period of time also,
yeah,
to get there, so it could be
right.
Either savings or add to that later,
yeah,
on.
800...
It seems to be getting better in a lot.
Yeah.
I just see this as not, either one of these appears, two or three, but appears to be sustainable in the sense that our expenditures are exceeding our revenues.
And why would that be if we're not, if let's say number one, we do that, we don't make any changes.
Actually, before we go there, I have to say, I want to clarify something. I want to just back up a little bit. When you say remediation, because you have this, the member organizer, where you have challenges and recommended solutions.
Mm-hmm.
These recommended solutions, is that what remediation? So you're talking about the one additional library system 3, 2 essentially library system 2, total of 3 FTE that we have.
No, there's.
And then. And then also you have a quarter-time increase in the information specialists and a one-and-a-half equivalent. I know you said they're temporary equivalent, full-time equivalent of library aid, which are temporary positions. Is that total 300,000?
Well, some of it is taking staff that are currently 25 hours a week and making them, say, 30, to give them a little time when they're not. Because right now, 25 hours a week, you're on the desk 25 hours.
Okay, I was just thinking for remediation. So these are just staffing increases.
They are, and you can't really total it from that. I mean,
okay.
It's. I mean, I can take it from here and tell you how many FTE is going up. But the only new position we're creating is that assistant down here.
Okay.
But otherwise, it's people going from 30 to 40, 25 to 30, 20 to 30. Now there is another slight savings that's not reflected. In half a year, and it's not going to be a whole lot of money, but if we're getting, you know, if we're talking about $200,000, the Y rating for the first half of the year is about, the value of that's about $55,000. But if some of these people increase their hours, the Y rating, it's offset the Y rating, so the Y rating will be a little bit less. So,
yeah. So Y rating.
We took people who were, Y rating is when you keep somebody, say they were 40-hour, say their salary was $10 an hour, and their new salary is $8 an hour. For the first year, we kept them at $10 an hour. We paid them as though they were getting $10 an hour. And we did that for benefits as well. So if somebody was getting full-time benefits, and now they're 30 hours, we're giving them the full-time benefits for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of that is about a little over $110,000 over two fiscal years. There's some other expenses that go away. Built in here is $75,000 for retirement incentives, which we're paying this year and next year, and then that goes away. So that's 75. So there's play in the budget. So a couple hundred thousand dollars is not a huge amount.
So the remediation part of this, you're saying that's round up stuff. Let's not worry about that. But the hour.
that's almost $1 million. So that's material. The other one is we can manage. We can probably manage the other one.
Okay.
If I haven't seen the first one.
So I had.
Well, I was going to say.
I haven't seen that yet.
But yeah, if this means that you're this number two even means to me now that you're in deficit spending, and that's not sustainable. That's exactly your point. And so.
But, I mean, I would have to run that out 5 years or 3 more years. But there's other. What I'm saying is there's other factors coming in that are going to reduce
and offset
it. So, I mean, it could be managed too. I mean, we're putting $100,000 aside for technology each year. If we had to go down to 75, you know, if that would make a difference. There's places like that we could make a difference. There's some other expenses for the single service remodel for next year. We wouldn't have a year after. It's less. So there's not. I mean, you're not going to. It's not going to continue to be that much.
I wonder if it would help to see this run out, 4 or 5 years. The projection not that far.
Based on current revenue. Based on current revenue.
Maybe a couple of years current revenue, and then based on a more realistic revenue projection.
I can run it on the same model we used for the task force.
Yeah, I think in that model we had increased from 2.5 increase revenue.
We had
I liked Sam's approach also looking at proportionality of the costs. So if you look at the increase in hours, what the increase would be, that might be one way to look at it from a wouldn't be as maybe not as speculative when you're forecasting out that far, but this would be one way at least we just look at current costs, what they would be for the proportion. I just had a couple of comments. I don't know if you could.
Go ahead.
I wanted to ask, because it's unclear, when you have this recommendation, just that this is a lot of information in terms of pretty difficult decisions that the board's going to face, but our recommendation is just the one item as far as the $2.50 charge. I think we should actually look at the recommendation as being one of, I look at four things. It's, you have it as the implement the changes identified as, implement the changes identified as immediately necessary to adjust the staff and new service model. That was remediation, or the current service model is remediation. Then you have B, which is increasing the hours to, based on what was recommended or discussed for during the model discussion we had previously. You also have C, the delay implementation of the hours, and then the fund balance falls into place, as a result of that. So, I mean, you have those. The other one I did mention is just maintain the status quo, which is also a decision point. But it wasn't clear to me when you look at the recommendation as far as, what is going to be the decisions you're looking for to help guide this.
Well, I want to know what you want me to do with the budget.
Yeah.
And that's basically which direction do you want to go in.
So
because there's variations on my recommendations as well. I mean, I didn't want to speak for the board, so.
So I'll ask the other, members what you think of at least having those decision points kind of outlined a little bit more clearly in the recommendation.
Well, I think that they're good to outline, the major decision points.
Yeah.
I'm not prepared to sit here and make a recommendation to the board as to how.
No, I'm just saying list all of those potential recommendations rather than one that we are going to take.
And you don't think I did that in the last paragraph? Oh.
Well, you
have. I give what I recommend. So you want to list out, here's what you could do, and here's your options?
Those are, I think that's. That you, let's just have that outlined. I mean, that's your staff recommendation is provide direction and eliminate the $250 charge. But I just think to make it a little bit more clear as far as what are the decision points for the board. And that is just one thing after reading this, I think needs to be drawn out a little bit because.
So the options are to do nothing, to do the remediation, or to increase the hours.
And then. And then also whatever to decisions made, any of those fund balances would be placed in the capital improvement reserve. And so that would just flows from any of the decisions that are made. If the board decides to go with additional hours, how's that $91,000 made up? What gets cut? So that's, I mean...
That's what you need to tell me.
No, that's right. That's right.
But it's based on, it's more than 90, it's almost $1 million deficit.
Yeah, it is $1 million. It's $1 million.
Right. And so and I don't, under that, how does putting it off a year change any of that? It doesn't seem like...
Well, I didn't want to go that far to say... Okay, I mean, that's fine. I mean, it's just
right.
Until we have a chance to look and see how things are doing. Well, that's why I said until at least July 2013.
Okay.
But if you want to give me direction now,
if you're going to give a date specific like that, I think you should what's going to happen between now and then that's even going to allow us to do that. And I think, I mean, yes, we're faced with it. Bigger fundamental problem, right? And it's about how are we going to do this ever, you know? And what information do we need to put together? Like you're putting this out over the model, the budget model over multiple years, and so I think for these extra hours, there needs to be more analysis. What that's going to take, what those costs are, and how they're ever going to be made up.
Well, I can easily plug them in. I still have the spreadsheets, and I can easily plug them into
that. What do you mean by that in terms of even for the increased hours? I'm assuming you need 0.3. How would you do that to evaluate? If you're not going to be getting that additional amount every year, how would you? Value it, just show what the deficit would be if you projected out several years?
Well, I think that, and it's kind of like going back to what we had done, the committee had done, looking at all this, and I think we need to revisit that and look at what these now dollar costs are.
Okay. Compared to
now, and seeing somehow fleshing out that yes, it does have this kind of expense impact, right? And showing that on our model, and if this is all bears true, and if this is the case, I'm not sure how it can be accomplished,
right?
Unless we look at that whole thing and say, well, here's some other stuff that needs to be done or could be done, and I don't know what that is. But
so, Sam, are you suggesting maybe a separate chart that compares the financial projections that we looked at at the potential increased hours at this stage to this new financial information?
That could be one way to do it. I don't know. I mean, revisiting what we did back then. You mean the committee?
That's right.
Because we had developed it, and so, but I think I would. That was more of a global,
right?
Look at it. I don't think we dived down into the details that Teresa is now doing.
Is it?
And so I don't. I mean, I think that's going to come up, that comparison. Well, this is what we looked at a year ago, but this is the revisit of that. I don't know that needs to flow through this committee to do that, but when you're looking at this kind of budget cost to accomplish an established goal of increasing hours, it seems to me that you got to lay it out fully and completely, and using that model that we had come to prepare and use is one way to do that. And I think that's where the hard decisions have to be made about whether or not, and I don't.
I can change that to delay implementation of increased hours until financial conditions consider. I'm okay saying that. I was just scared, okay?
I can understand why, too. And I think, I mean, I don't think you want to put yourself out there to say that, well, on this date, then do it. But when you're faced with this kind of, you know, actually on this chart, I think the, you know, I think that what you should do is, what would be better would be to have.
Have it in 5 years?
Well, it would be like, I mean, for this, it would be the ending fund balance for that year and then the cumulative fund balance. So basically, only the first one is going to have a modest surplus, okay? Because we're going from $1 million to $1,131,000. So that would be an ending fund balance for that year of $131,000. So your cumulative would be $1,131,000. And so, but the second one, that's a deficit in that fund.
Let me run it through the other few years out, because expenses started changing. Expenses next year didn't change significantly from this year.
I'm not sure why, if we did nothing, why would our result not mirror this year's result?
It is. I mean, well, it's $131,000. We're starting.
But you said we already started with $1 million from.
Right, so we're picking up $131,000.
What is the year-end result going to be? What are you projecting for this year?
It was several hundred thousand.
That's what I thought.
I think it was close
like,
to 500,000. That's what's getting us, I think, to the million.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like we did nothing, that we would have those same results for next year. Okay.
The revenue is still based on the county's conservative estimates. We just got a $230,000 extra.
I think you should try to project.
Okay, I'll try. I'll project it out.
What this year's net gain is going to be, okay, and therefore, what does that make our cumulative as of the year end? And then do that for each one of these models. And I would imagine that number one should mirror what we are projecting for this year, whatever that is. Okay. But that will help everybody see the true, I think, cost of these. Cause
if I was hearing you correctly, and then I understand the request for the information, financial information, but in terms of the recommendations that are listed on page 19, the last page of this bill, were you suggesting that we just leave that one recommendation of the delay implementation of increased hours until financial projections are available? I mean,
I'm not speaking as a finance committee member in that respect. I mean, you can make your recommendation how you see to make it. But I was projecting as a board member, I'm wondering if you're basically telling us that increasing hours is going to create almost $1 million deficit. Well, and then you tell, well, let's wait. And because the way this is written, but we'll do it in July 2013. Well,
maybe.
This is like, okay, well, I would bold and underline, I think people are going to get the impression that we're talking about.
I will go out on them and I will change it. And what I really think.
And I don't, that's I mean, not, as a committee member, yeah, that's not, I don't think that's within this purview, okay.
That's a policy. Yeah,
I think
policy
that that's, yeah.
But that's just because one of the things I felt was really helpful when we had our group that was looking at these service models, and I heard you say it also, is to go out to speak to these groups. And I feel it would be important to go back, since we did talk about increase the hours to go back out and say, hey, you know, this is what we're doing, this is why, this will be your hours for the foreseeable future, and get some feedback from them as far as that decision, because I really appreciated hearing from people in the Valley, as well as, you know, Brands of 40. We had a whole school give us about 100, you know, I don't know if you remember that petition, 150 students from Galt Elementary, you know, about protecting the branch. And so I'm really sensitive to, you know, making sure that we go back and close the circle, and we're not just letting, you know, this become just an action item, but really go back out there and say, hey, you know, we really do care about our system, and we want to make sure that, you know, we protected our branches, and this is the available resources we have to keep that decision in place. And so if you could update that one, when you say survey the public, I don't think this is just a matter of people walking in and letting us know how you feel. I would be willing to go out on a Saturday to branches if need. So I always say schedule public meetings. So I said survey the public and or schedule public meetings, regarding, an update of our current current finances and operational recommendations.
I think certainly can do that. I think those are two different. The idea of surveying the public is to determine, are they okay with the hours, and are these the right hours? I mean, we're doing the story time in Felton after Garfield Park. We're doing some surveys to find out what's the best time to have it, and what else do you need from us that you're not getting? So that we can factor that in to any kind of planning that we do, because it may not be the hours that are as important as they want another Tails to Bales dog.
Yeah, the types of programs or things.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's exactly what I'm getting at.
Or when the hours are being provided as opposed to the total.
Right, although there are certain limitations, and the fact that we specifically, Felton, before we actually did their hours, we did a survey saying, here's your options, because we didn't want them saying we want, 5 hours a day over 4 days, because that got us into meal breaks. So we said it's got to be 5 days and it's got to be 4 hours a day. So we have to be careful how we ask it, not giving false evidence.
I totally agree with it, with not wanting to set expectations based on doing a survey. Because if you say, are you okay with the hours now? And they say no. And we say, well, sorry, but we can't do anything about the hours because we can't afford it.
Yeah.
I think we're better off not asking the question, but rather maybe explaining that, here's what we are doing, and
get feedback regarding that decision. Yeah. They may say, hey, we'd rather have more programs in our hours, just to go back out there and close the circle.
You could say they want more hours, though, you're not going to be able to.
No, but I'm saying more hours on the weekend rather than, or maybe they want a longer day on a Saturday than having a day during the week.
Once again, there's impacts from that.
Well, I don't know, but I mean, let's just hear back what they say. I just made that up. I have no idea that anybody feels that way. They may be completely satisfied with the current hours, but I just think it'd be helpful to have that from a process standpoint. I don't know how you feel about that, Sam.
Particularly without having a better sense of what is in our realm of capabilities, of financial capabilities. That's, once I knew that better, then we can maybe talk about, is it worth a survey? What are we surveying for?
That's, on that point, say that striking that bullet about surveying the public or satisfying it, just kind of, and then in the third bullet, I think captures it, evaluate what is working and what is not in regard to the to our service goal. Because then it leaves it open-ended for us to, or your staff to decide what is.
Yeah, how you evaluate could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got some good parameters of performance measures in place. We just haven't had time to have to see them be.
But you only have 1 month's worth of data.
And actually, some of those performance indicators require us doing some surveys on satisfaction, so with services and stuff. So we just haven't had a chance to.
So is there any other discussion on this?
Okay, thank you for giving me good stuff. I know what else you're doing tomorrow.
Still on.
Actually, that's not my
record.
This is all the elected chair.
Pardon?
You have to still elect the chair.
Oh, okay. Are we still discussing the item? Or
we'll discuss that.
Okay.
So
yes.
And
one point just before we move on, that one bullet where it says truly evaluate. I would strike truly because, I mean, then it implies that you're.
Because we haven't yet. I mean, we've just, you know, 1 month is.
Okay. So we're on to other business. Elect the finance subcommittee chair.
Mm-hmm. I'll nominate David.
I'll second him.
Thanks, guys.
Do you accept the nomination?
I'll make it unanimous. Thank you. I appreciate your confidence.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Actually, now this is the second year going into this. I'm actually feeling that I have a better, you know, familiarity with, you know, the budget, and yeah, I'm looking forward to at least this next year, so we can dig in a little deeper. Maybe we can put on the next meter, so we can discuss about maybe some of the reporting. Like,
okay.
We've talked about this in the past as far as the charts that are used in terms of graphs, so we can compare it against, you know, other years or other. So having, you know, just the reporting.
I would like Mark Pimentel to be here.
Okay.
Hopefully he can come to that, because in his interview he talked more about how to make financial information much more accessible.
Yeah, good.
And in doing and them doing more analysis.
Great.
For us. So it would be good for him to hear. So I will make sure that he's invited. And
do you know, did he work closely with the Watsonville system, library system?
He would have, because he was the finance director for City of Watsonville.
Yeah.
And for the City of Watsonville, so he must have.
Do you ever have joint meetings with, not that, I mean, this is our finance subcommittee, so maybe I'll wait until this is closed, but I'll ask you out the record. So, are there any other items? Okay, next meeting will be March 26th, 2002, here at 6 o'clock, the Central Branch.